That led to a series of activities, which included them trying to bring up the Hajjai program and rescheduling the whole Unity School education, which you must be hearing of in the news now.
Yes,
I think they are trying to work on that. And they are saying, even the policy of 16 years, 18 years, that is under review now, because they are saying these guys are special. They can go to second university at even 13.
Yeah.
But those guys are saying, you can't do it for only them. There are also other special children. You have to do it for everybody. So I believe it will change a lot of things in the narrative in the entire nation.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Now, I said that to get somewhere. I asked him to come today because I want you to see a life trajectory. Sometimes when we are talking over here and talking about God, your life, and everything, many of us have been so captivated by all these influencers. Now, can you just imagine, somebody walks in here, attends second service, you don't see him make a lot of noise, and he's influencing the whole Federal Minister of Education to come to school, to now use that school as a benchmark to affect all other federal unity schools in the land. Know that all these schools have been left to themselves. And just one man's act doing that. But I'm going to take you back to his life. That's why I asked him to come today. He's been having some influence. When he was in school, we're going to talk about the school, but when he was in school, he had a chapel that was not the best that time. And then when he finished there, God said he should go back to build a chapel, a church building. That cost about how much?
Then that would have been about 36, 40 million.
About
5 years ago, yeah.
36, 40 million. And God was asking you to do that.
So let me say this. First, I was not the only one even involved in this project. We're a team. So okay. The credit goes to even guys that are on site, actually.
Yeah.
Now, even this too, yes, it's true that God said to me, okay, it was like a commitment I made to God and said, see, I won't build a house until when this chapel is done. So we didn't have a chapel. What normally happens if you go to Unity School is that the Muslims, okay, like my school, the Muslims have the financiers, the Catholics are theirs, but you have the FCS, which is Fellowship of Christian Students. So you are seeing somebody from Celestial Church of Christ, somebody from Rock Foundation, somebody from Winners. So there's no particular underpinning. So we just kept all of us in dining hall. So we had this dining hall, but in my year one, which was GS1, we started to build our own chapel. But it kept on going down and kept on going down, and they couldn't finish it. But I had made that commitment to God and said, see, before I build my house, before I have a house of mine to live in, I want to make sure that chapel is complete. So the last time I went there before that activity started, I was ashamed. I had to cover my face. Like I couldn't look at the building that was down.
Wow.
But God said, you have just 2 million. Go and start.
Okay, hold on there. That's where I'm going. You got 2 million down, which is like reserve.
Yeah, so it was my returns from an investment I did, actually, which I had down. And he said, okay, you have that. Go and start.
And then you told your friends to get involved.
Yes, so...
And they were thinking that...
So actually what happened in that scenario was that I had to reach out to my friends who are architects and all that and say, let's go and do this work. This work is hanging for all these years, for 20 years, almost 20 years actually, because it was my GS1 and about 20 years, yes.
Yeah.
And I said, let's go and do this work. So one thing led to another thing. We found out that a group of ex-students like us had been praying and interceding. But there was nobody God was going to use to kickstart that work. So by the time we got there and they said the building was down, we couldn't even fix it. We just thought we'll fix the roof and we'll go. But
so
we had to pull down the entire structure.
Wow.
So pulling down the entire dilapidated structure meant we had to spend maybe 40 million budget. And you know how it is when you come to alumni project. Everybody says, see, we have our own lives to live. Forget about this thing. We can't spend this money. I said, okay, fine. Even if I have to sell my car, let's go and start.
So you started with that 2 million.
Yes, we started with
and
that.
And start building.
Yes.
Tell me, when you start doing that, what did God, give us some of the testimony we had that day, what God started doing about getting down?
So what I see is that for me, God has told me in the past that he wants me to preserve a generation of people that will live by faith, trusting him. So that became an example for me to actually test my faith. In the sense that you have just 2 million and this is 40 million and you don't know where it's going to come from. But every inch of the way. What I notice is that whenever I'd learned in the past to subject my resources to God, that he's saying, you take charge, just use it for whatever you want to use, I realized that he just borrows my purse, does what he wants to do, and give me some change back.
Did you hear that? It's not a preacher, he's an industrialist.
Yes. I don't know this job. I know the one of factory, you know?
He runs factories. So when you got that, you just believe that with that 2 million, you start, and then you start the building. But can you give us some things God did? For instance, that day you're telling about some diesel business that came up that...
So those are, like I said, I mean, I can mention scenarios, but the ultimate end point is that God borrowed my purse and he was doing whatever I wanted. So in the midst of the process, businesses came that I knew that they were for that project. So for example, one of my friends, who were both partners, I mean, we are doing business together, got into diesel business and said, supply me. And I can tell you for a fact, the day we finished that job, the business ended. Wow. In fact, I have a similar testimony for this project we just did.
Interesting.
Same thing. So I realized that over time, the best thing I can do, I mean, I give offering. I can't even say I give tithe. Let me put it that way. Because I've learned that if I give God tithe, it's nothing. I would rather have him borrow my purse. And if he says take 100%, I know that when he finishes using it, he's going to give me more. And that's how I've tried to live. And so I know that whenever he does this, it's because he's going to make a way. And my business too, at that same point in time, that's my family business, we could see the trajectory. It got to a point my parents...
We are coming to that.
Yes.
Don't worry, I'm coming to your family business. The thing is that that 40 million building was finished and you are still left with how much?
I can't say categorically now, but I know I had enough reserve, more than when I started. That I'm sure of. I'm very sure of. Yes, I'm very sure of.
Let's go back to the very beginning. Your parents, your family, you are Sangota.
No, so I was born in Ifo.
Okay, yeah, Ifo, that's
yes,
right.
I was born in Ifo. And
you both, all of you go to Lateran Church.
Yes, so no, we were born in Celestial Church.
Okay.
That needs to be made clear. And I can say to God be the glory, it was even in the midst of that that God showed me the light. And one thing led to another thing. My parents at a point felt non-comfortable. They were not comfortable in that environment anymore. And my dad moved to Lateran Assembly.
Yeah.
And that was good for me because I was just 8.
Wow.
So it was my formative stage. And that gave me a point where the environment was good for me to build my field. Yes.
So you had to go to school. You are one of the gifted kids that were picked that time to go to Suleja to attend this school. They were actually raising you guys to be influencer forces in Nigeria. For instance, you told us that you were part of the economic, they are trying to make part of the economic team. For which of the presidents now?
That was Yar'Adua, when I just...
Yar'Adua, with...
Bismarck Riwani.
How many of you know Bismarck Riwani? You never heard of him. Financial Derivatives.
Yes, Financial Derivatives, yes. MD. You will see him on news channels every time.
Now, this is high point for you. You are thinking, that I'm going to go to this gifted school. You get through there. You are thinking, okay, I'm going to set up my own... You are thinking of having a bank before you are 30, if I remember. And you are trying to... save up money for that bank. And then you are praying, and God said, go and do your family business.
Yes, so...
Let's hear from there.
So, let me put it this way. In university, I attended Covenant University, third set. So maybe some of you are going to Covenant. It's a good school, actually. So, to what Reverend said, when I left school, because I was fortunate to be one of the best students there, so I got several jobs from the stage. I know governors gave me money and all those kind of things they give to one of the best students. So I had my plan set out because I wanted to be a banker. In fact, I'd always been a banker from childhood age, whereby I give loans to people and they pay back with interest. You know, even in secondary school, I loaned all my sets, their jump money, you know, and I got the money back with my own interest. The same to university. So I love the job, but I mean, when I got my vision, I wanted to do it for the poor people. So I had made my calculation, just like every other young man, and said, if I work with this guy, I'm going to have so amount of money. He was willing to pay me $150,000 for youth service and $500,000 once I finished.
That was then?
That was then, yes, about 16, 17 years ago now. So I was a lot of money. And here was my dad. He was thinking of selling his business because that was when stock market was booming. And the alternative for going in doing this nonsense business is far more than the energy you are putting inside. Wow. So while I wanted to go and resume with Bismarck after the interview, and he did the interview, he said, you're a young man, and I've not interviewed any young man like you before. I want you to start job on Monday. And you're going to represent us in Abuja with President Yar'Adua. But I saw some things on his table I wasn't comfortable with. Magazines that, you know, sensual magazines. I said, what's happening? Then I got to pray, rented my room, painted my room, got my bed. But when I got to pray, Holy Spirit told me clearly, say, you are going back home. Going back home, care. 25,500. Yo, my pa.
Oh, wait. So 500,000 that I paid to you over there, then over here is 20.
Yes, 25,000. That's what my dad could afford.
That's what the dad could afford?
Yes, that's what he could afford.
25,000.
Yes.
Gifted.
So even him, he didn't want me to stay because he felt, why not go to Harvard and continue your education? I mean, if I had friends whose fathers came to the business and said, see, we can help you. We have a slot in CBN. Why not go and have your slot, even if you're not working with Bismarck? But I knew that God has sent me for a purpose.
Wow.
So I had to let go of that big money. And that my plan of saying in 10 years or 15 years, if I work, you know, because I'm working in finance, and to God be the glory, I can calculate some of this. I say, see, so age, I will have my microfinance bank and change like that. So,
Odunayo, let's slow down a little bit. You are having these two choices. You see these guys over here, sitting down there, they are, unlike those days when you don't have so much exposure, they've seen all sorts. They've had all kinds of things. But when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to God, it's still just not clear. And I want us to really focus on this. At that age, you're about to move out to go do this fantastic work, which any of them will grab with both hands and two legs. You are informed to go to your dad's business, 25K. He didn't want you to come there. Can I ask a question? How did you come to that? Did the prophet prophesy to you that do this? No. What I'm asking is that, what platform did you use to hear God at that extent? I really feel sorry for a lot of these guys today. I'm going to be honest with you. You've not been here before. A lot of them, they use like logic, calculate, understand, and they look from where they are to where they're going to be, and it's not been working. For those who are before them, they don't want to hear that, but it's not been working for those who are older, kind of a thing. But how do you come to know that that's the right thing to do, and that's God?
Okay.
Sorry for slowing you down.
Yes, yes. So, for me, to God be the glory, I had a work relationship with Christ at that time, early enough, and that's why I'm glad that you guys are doing the same very early.
Work relationship.
Yes,
with
I had
Christ.
A working relationship. That is,
working
I had,
relationship with Christ.
Yes, there was union, unity with Christ. So, and I had multiples of counselors who were older, who could advise also. In fact, my professor who rented his house to me, he told me, when I went to, I said, see, this is what I'm hearing in my spirit. God says I should go back. This business is about to be sold. But Bismarck has given me a job. He said, see, young man, the reason why Bismarck wants you is the same reason why Covenants wants you to be a lecturer, the same reason why KPMG gave you a job, AB Microfinance and Access Bank, the same reason maybe your father wants you if he really wants you to come back. Everybody sees potential in you. But choose for yourself what will last you for long term. No matter the money you make between now, I was at 20, no matter the money you make between now and 30, it can't sustain you throughout your lifetime.
Wow.
So choose for long term. And I mean, with the counsel of those who had gone before me, and with the word of God, having that, I had the confirmation. In fact, my dad was shocked when I got back home. First, I've rented my room. I was going to start work on Monday, actually. I was just kneeling down to pray and say, God, thank you. I'm resuming on Monday. And I heard it clearly in my spirit, go back.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. You had it clearly in your spirit. Sorry. Guys, use their brain today.
Yes, I also use my brain many times. Actually.
But that kind of leap.
Yes.
You have rented the house, you have painted your room, and then work start on Monday, and you sense in your spirit, I think, everybody listen to this, we are more than our brain. I brought him today because he's not a pastor. If he's a pastor, we say, oh, anointing. Heaven opened over his head. Young man, about to start, trusting what he had in his spirit. What happened after?
So, I went back home. Then we started, you know, coming to a factory. Many of you will know about pure water business and all those kind of things. It was quite rough. There were options, alternatives, you know, constantly knocking, even while doing the job. But one thing led to another, and I think it was a journey of faith for me. And I mean, for me, I believe that the word of God that says the just shall live by faith. It's not saying the just shall live by logic or by news. In fact, more often than not, I've made more mistakes because I listen to news and logic. But whenever I defer towards living by faith, which is God's command, that those of us who are righteous, we must live by trusting him and believing him for his word, I have always seen him prove himself. So the journey for the business, God has been faithful. As a matter of fact, he has given us so many men at different junctures to solve our issues, to help us move ahead and promote the business in the way he has determined. To him be the glory.
That left the business for you. Your brothers move abroad.
Yes, yes.
And then you start. How many employees do you have now?
How many?
Employees in the factory.
I stopped counting number because I don't want to reduce them to number. But actually, they're about 1,300, 1,400. But I stopped using number because I was warned by the Holy Spirit not to reduce my workers' numbers.
Thank you. I know some of you are confused over here, and I love it. The future is not meant for you. Everybody wants to use you for their end. It was told, Bismarck has the same reason as the faculty. But the issue is that, what are you going to have for your whole life that will sustain you all your lifetime? Nobody has that plan for you. Nobody. It's your problem. But I'm glad that there is an answer in God. You have 1,000 thereabout plus staff. Acting, working, some things I can't tell you that he's doing because he wants to keep it anonymous. But at least you can see somebody who got up and built a 40 million naira project with starting with 2 million. And then went to go and fix the school. And federal government is now inspired to continue the job. And he's not a noisemaker. When he walked in, you didn't know him. You have been fooled by YouTubers who make a lot of noise. Not doing much. I mean, from this place over here, it's inspiring the whole of federal government. Can you see that? That's what faith can do with a life. Just trusting God. He didn't plan. You never plan to inform federal government to start with. Never plan. Since we have confused you enough to look at this way of life, we are going to go a step further now. Can I ask you a question? Maybe this is the last question I'm going to ask you. How critical is God and Jesus in this work, this adventure you have taken? How critical?
How critical is God and Jesus? I wouldn't know what adjective to use to qualify, because that's the center. So what I've realized in business is that God is the center, not me, not the staff, not my agenda. Yeah. God is at the center, and he expresses himself to us through the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He said, I will put my spirit in you. And, you know, that's not just about speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Even though many times in church we reduce it to that. No. It's the Holy Spirit being an active force
right.
in our life, guiding us, guarding us, and leading us. Now, let me say this clearly. It's not rosy. It's not like, oh, you have some what's it called? Horns that you can tap into those. No, it's just like you struggle with it. I get to struggle. When he was talking of depression, there were phases of the business where I would be going in the morning and I'm praying, see, let the trailer come and just knock me off and let me just die, you know? Those times come. In fact, I've come to realize that if you've not gone through depression, you've not started life.
Wow.
You have come to realize that. You will go through it. Elijah went through it. Most even Jesus Christ passed through the valley of Baca. You will go through it. But it's how to go through those things that really matter. So God is at the center for us. God has given us a vision as a family, which is more than the business.
Yeah.
So the business becomes an expression of that vision he has given us as a family, which is continuing in one generation to another generation and must keep on going to the next generation by his grace and by his own sustenance. As a matter of fact, I want to believe that what is happening in our organization would have happened despite me.
Wow.
In fact, more times it happens in spite of me. Because most times I've seen where I doubt and I just give up and God just says, maybe you are finished. Now I will take over. I remember one time I had a particular issue with power and we got a license. In fact, the meeting I went for here was Dangote's MD, Flour Mill MD, and all of them said, I was like, we don't qualify. We're a very small company. And the minister came up, that was Fashola, and said, the only company that qualifies is this young man's company. How? We don't even qualify.
Wow.
And one thing led to another thing. We had an issue that complicated at the end of the day. And I remember typing a message to the person in charge of that power issue. I said, I'm now giving up. We are going back to Nepal and all those kind of things. After sending that message, as I sent it to him, immediately as I was sending that message, because I called him to inform him, but was busy. As I sent that message, giving up, then I got a call from one other guy from their office, that's Lafarge now, saying, our MD just approved the power sale. Just approved power sale. And it's WhatsApp. So I had to delete it. So actually, it's not like it's cast in stone and you are having that hole. No, no, it's just God who just works in mysterious ways and can. And I've seen it several to, just recently, I had an issue when I traveled out and somebody, I think a competitor, trying to raise a problem and then said, this guy's doing this thing. And I was invited somewhere for investigation. And the person that was there told me, said, these people meant it for bad for you, but nobody has become great in this country that has not come to this office. God brought you to this office. This is the person in charge of that particular area in Nigeria, nationwide, for the Southwest region now, the whole Southwest, apart from Abuja. He said, God wants to make you great. I said, and prophecies that God had told us as children in the home.
Wow.
This man that I feared most was now ministering them to me and saying, God wants to do something through you.
Wow.
And that is why they brought you to my office. Don't mind all of them. Whatever they say, I know what they are trying to do. You don't ignore all of them. So I've seen that. So it's when I'm afraid or when I give up that God steps in to show himself powerful. Not really one being very, very strong. No.
So you just walk daily with God.
Yes.
Keep yourself working relationship with God.
Yes.
And all this happens. Let's give God all the glory. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? I'm going to get you back. We are going to talk more, but let me let you go today because your family
has been. Thank you very much.
Let's clap for you one more time. Thank you. Don't worry, they take care of all the rest. I can give you the microphone. All right. Beautiful. Welcome to church. Pastor, what's wrong with you today? You are not talking. This life is unreasonable. This life is unreasonable. A lot of us that are seated here today, we just want to enjoy our lives, live a little bit good, make some impression, make some impact, get out, and God has so much more to do with your life. He just wants you to, like he said, start a working relationship with him. Let's go back to our Matthew 6 that we read last week. Can we go down there? And let's dig in some stuff tonight. Do some stuff. So I did that. Where's Daniel? It's over there. All right. And Jeremiah. I did that to bring this up. Listen to this, everybody. Not only, you're welcome one more time. Let's go to Matthew 6. We read from verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. You see, the average one of us today, all we are after is that we have some channel, we have some money, we have some houses, we have children, we have kids, we live life, great, I have my own house, I have my own cars, two or three or four cars, have some money, and then give back, right? That's all we are thinking. Let's go on. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. First of all, can you look up everybody here? How many of you can tell me how many number of birds are in Abeokuta? Who can tell me? Press the phone now. You always Google everything. Okay, let's Google it. How many birds are in Abeokuta? Let's Google. Pull out your phone. Shola, do it for me. How many birds are in Abeokuta? You can ask Siri or Gemini. All right. How many birds are in Abeokuta? When we do things like this, we think it just means that the bird behind your house. But let's not look at Abeokuta. Let's not look at the whole world yet. Abeokuta, okay, any answer? Any estimates? They don't even know Abeokuta. Maybe we should try New York City. Anybody can try New York City. Jeremiah, are you trying New York City? Thank you. Abeokuta, Google can't find that. All right, I'm waiting. Any number? What? No, I don't want species. That's 400 types. So how many estimates of the birds in New York City? Oli Guguti Daru. I mean, Google can't do that. They can estimate number of roads. They can estimate number of birds. Now, wait. That means that's giant number. At least we know there are 8 billion people in the world today. There should be more than of that birds in number. And do you know what? God has been feeding them. And they never had conference one day about food for all 2030. Correct? Let's keep reading. Look at the comparison God is giving. You are worrying what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. God is saying, look at the birds of the air. Large number beyond our scope. Let's go on. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You know what somebody just said? He said, even when I was seemed to be doubting, you are all laughing when he sent out the text and said, we are thinking of giving up. And then it's just same thing. You're talking about gigantic stuff. Tell somebody beside you, you are cutting your life too small. By the way, Joseph was made to feed the whole of Egypt, remember? He was a prisoner. Let's keep reading. Next verse. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. Okay, let's Google that one. How many grasses are in Abeokuta? How many grasses are in New York City? They understand that one. So can you help me check? They tell us number of species again. They are very smart. All right. How many number of grasses? Okay. We don't have. They are very smart. Google is very smart. 1,000. For the birds, it was 400 species. Now that's 1,000. What? 450. They're just estimates. It's called guesstimates. And listen, did you ever hear the factory? I mean, it has factory. They require power. They require manpower. They require all that thing. And you know, it's doing that. How many of you, pass by grass and you hear, chick, 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 this, please, please, this, please. No, Nepa, no, solar will do the job. Did you ever? Some of you are looking at me. Pastor, I didn't come to church for that. I just want to have my life and travel abroad, King Jakpa. And you know, sorry to tell you this, I've been abroad. But Jakpa, no. Yarakanoma wa. I've been there. I've slept in the houses there. UK is worse. America is better. The road of UK is like this. You see them, they stand, they don't want to pass. Huh? Guys, online, thank you. Huh? The car's small. You go to one walk. You know why the money is big to us? Because £100 times 2,000. That's how much. Do you know, can I surprise you? You see somebody working in UK, you never seen £50 cash. What? So Nigerians, if you go to the mall and you pull out £50, they may stop. They will stop. They may call their ogre and say, £50. It's all EK, are you hearing me? It's all cards. So they start checking. £50 is to come to Nigeria. You put $100 on the table, bugger, eka, makalo. You know, you can't afford everything. I mean, £50, they start marking, checking. They mark it to say, oh, it's original. So I'm talking about, you know, all this thing, but you just get a job and you're happy, kind of a thing. Some guys are doing big things, I know. How they grow? They don't toil, they don't spend. Next verse. And as I said to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these grasses. If you put that grass at the macroscopic level, and you know how many billions of molecules of carbon, hydrogen in that thing? You know your biggest problem, your background. Your background, thinking, you know, I'm from this, I'm from Nigeria, I'm from that, you know, Nigeria. No. We're looking at big God over here. You know, one day, somebody told me something, I won't forget my life. He said, God doesn't think in a cup of water, he thinks in oceans. Are you hearing me? When he said to God, water, what does he think? Cup of water? No, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. When you think of wood, you think of chair, table in your house, God is thinking of rainforest. Are you hearing me? And he doesn't do anything in small quantity. Right? Look at when we say water. Can you imagine the volume of water? When you think of, let's come home. The air we breathe, all you are thinking is the oxygen passing through your nose. Do you know if I happen to sell air, I won't do anything else in life? I mean, I just so even every breath, one kobo, next minute, I'll be a trillionaire. And see, air we're breathing. Actually, down deep in reality, there's no shortage. Do you know yourself? There is no, I know you are hungry, you have not eaten today. But in nature, there's no shortage. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the grass of the field. Look at the air you breathe. It's a lot of it. But the first time you enter economic class, they say, what they tell us? Scarcity of resources and scales of preference. And all of us went to school to pick the best course to make us have more cakes, Abi. But the big things of life are free. You have been duped about Christianity. You've been duped because you never read it yourself. You only hear people on the TV. And you are all splitting your head over one jet that somebody bought. One giant church, and they say, oh, there's 1 million people in that church. Can you count how many millions of ants are on this in this Abeokuta alone? Tell somebody, God is quite big, bigger than what you think. When he says something about working in relationship with God, let's get into it. Let's go next verse quickly. Let's start running. Okay, all right, let's go. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown to the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? See, God, just want that kind of investment in the grass. And tomorrow, we dig it out. Right? Right? Let's keep on going. Next verse. Therefore, somebody said, when you see therefore, find out what that therefore is therefore. The other grammar. Therefore, tell somebody beside you, do not worry. Can I say it in your language? Don't hustle. Don't hustle. What do you say, Reverend? You have to hustle. I know. So don't hustle in your head. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Next verse. For after all this, the Gentiles, Interesting. Gentiles. Have you noticed something? Have you heard of before GDP? GDP. Have you heard of GDP over here? Can I don't know if you heard of GDP over here. GDP. What is GDP? Gross. There's nothing about the number of air inside it. There's nothing about peace inside it. There's nothing about joy. There's nothing about spirit inside it. There's nothing about emotion inside it. There's nothing about. It's all material. And it's what we can produce. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Let's go a step further now. So what should I be doing with my life from now on? This is where I'm really aiming at. You see, I'm making things difficult. And some of you, you won't come here anymore because I want to step up. You won't come here anymore. You just come over here, you're fiddling with your phone. You're really a fool. You hear me? I mean, you see, you have been used to religion. Just come and just play around. Yeah, man. No, let's make this thing higher. Huh? Come on. Can I get a phone? I feel sorry. Your whole life is inside here. Everything's here. Everything. You see, you're going on the road, you're doing this. You come on, man. You know, can you just kind of get your eyes off the phone and look at the birds out there and look at life around you? You're so mini-minded. So, you know, it's all about. You can't even see person next to you. It's all about. It is this thing. That's your new God. Now, pastor is mad today. That's why you can't build anything serious. You can't get on the ground and build a home. You can't get around and find friendship. It's all here. It's even worse. It's smaller. Timbale male, listen. All of you will scream. This is it. You can't. People don't stay with their children. I watched one clip recently. The woman was holding his phone. The daughter was there beside, and I was saying, Mommy. Said, run. And the guest started walking toward the river. You see, yeah, I think it's Instagram. And the girl entered the water. She's still. And then the water started carrying the girl. And she's still. And then they saw the water passing by. Wanted to take the snap. And I said, my daughter! And then they stopped the. I know it's just maybe a drama or something. But that's our whole life. That's our whole life today. You can't even look up and check somebody. You can't even look up and listen to God. You can't even look up. It's just here. That's why you're so miserable. Night, day, afternoon, evening. That's why we're breaking up. Our homes are breaking up. That's why we can marry. Because you're really married to the phone. You're dating phone. This pastor is mad today, man. Are you saying I should leave my phone aside? Or eh? You know, you go out, see, even you go out with a lady, next thing you do is this, you sit down. Bad habits. Oh, koi dada. You go out with the girl you are thinking of going out with, going out, Abby. I always say, when are you coming back? When you go out? You know, you go out and you sit down. Next thing you do, you pull out your phone. And the guy said, hello, okay. And he said, you should put your phone down. Who are you? How are you doing? Start asking questions that will help you later to go with that girl. And you never did that. You are busy looking at the phone. Then you start going out and start having fight because you never heard what she has to say or what he has to say. It's all in the phone. So God is saying, look here, I'm not against, I have a phone. My phone is 520 gig. Is that all right? So don't think I'm just against phone. But what I'm saying to you is this, that's a bigger life than your phone. Let's look at it. Look at next verse. But seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things you see on your phone, you can't get. You can only watch. You're going to have the other thing. Hey, look at him. You know, see, I bet sure that if he was just on his phone all through that Sunday before the Monday, he wouldn't have heard anything from heaven. I'm very sure of that. That if he has been thinking it all, he's just checking his phone, looking at the color of everything. He would have been, that's like the relative say now. But he put something aside and start looking at his life. Your life is too big. Your life is great. It's more than that thing in your hand. Clap your hands for your life. So I'm challenging you today to take off your eyes from that thing and then start looking at your life from the kingdom of God's size. I told you, look at the birds, they are large number. Look at the sand on the sea, they are large number. Look at water, it's a vast ocean. How can I now confine my life to this small thing in my hand? And God said about a human being, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Come, my friend, Emmanuel, right? Come over here. See, look at, when I say, Emmanuel, how are you? I am meeting a whole life. Physically speaking, there are over 3 trillion cells in this body. Hear me? How many? 3 trillion cells. So physically, it's a trillionaire, not a billionaire. You know, I just jammed a guy who's one of those tough guys. Electoral guys, he's a Nigerian teaching business school in Europe. It must be good. And he said, Africans are losing, they are losing their Africanness. I'll show you this, the side. He's a business guy. He said, can you just drop your phone and look around you? And look at the teeming world. Emmanuel, don't go away, stay with me. Look at this is a world, this is a person you never explore. All you do is to check him up on phone. I know you're tapping at who is Emmanuel. Influencer, how many thousands? 3,000. Oh, go, sit down. 5,000. Ah, maybe. 50 million. And they are committing suicide today because nobody's exploring them. Nobody's knowing them. So, tell somebody, welcome to the kingdom of God. Sit down. Let's talk about the kingdom of God today. As a kingdom of God. You know, you guys, last week, you were talking about, when I was teaching Daniel and Kose, if you are trusting God, I said, drop it. I don't mean to, you know, we have all this language that we speak as Christians. You know, in China, they speak Chinese. In Togo, they speak Togolese. Christians speak Christianese. You know the meaning of that? My daughter, when she was very small, my first daughter, she came to me and said, Dad, I won't go to school tomorrow. I said, you won't go to school tomorrow? Why? He said, I'm strong. I said, that's why you should go to school, because you are strong. I said, Daddy, don't you understand? I said, I don't understand. I'm the one paying the school fees. You go to school tomorrow. He said, you should understand. I said, if you are sick, tell me you are sick. Daddy, you are a pastor now. Uh-huh. You sick? Tell me you're sick. Don't tell me I'm strong. Oh, woman, money is plenty. Then go and spend it. What I'm saying, we have all this Christian language we have developed and to keep going. What I'm trying to get across to you today is to see God in his largeness as a kingdom. It's a kingdom that is just the best comparison. I showed you last week. Let's go down there. Mark 4. The best comparison of this kingdom. Let's go down there. Verse 26. Mark 4, 26. Then we're going to just quickly jump and see what to do with it. And he said, kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed where? On the ground. What's the kingdom? He said, scatter seed. What is seed? Listen, everybody listen here. I wish I have some seed here. Do anybody with seed? Can I get some gari? No, gari is not a seed. Can I get some beans? Where's my MC? Madam MC. Let me find her. Get gari. No, not gari. Beans. Rice. Apple. You can count how many seed of apple is an apple, but you can't count how many apples are in a seed. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus said, let's come to this kingdom. This kingdom, like a man scattering seed. Have you ever noticed? You never really learn so much. Let me show you. Seed is the greatest thing on this planet. Do you know what? Seed encapsulates the whole tree inside of itself in that miniature form. For instance, can I have your phone again? This phone is not a seed. It can only produce for you and cannot reproduce itself. Am I right? It can't multiply itself. When it gets spoiled, we buy another one. But in nature, God has ordained a particular thing called seed, not the tree now, that when you take a seed from a tree and throw it somewhere, it will replicate exactly that tree somewhere else in this place. Am I correct? Okay, all right. Thank you, Emmanuel. I'm on your case today. Okay, so now, see that seed? He said, a man scatters seed on the ground, and he sleep and rise up night and day. Next verse. And he should sleep, and he said, he doesn't know how the seed grows. Can I ask you a question? Where will the food we are going to eat in 50 years come from? From seed. All the food we will eat in 50 years' time, they are with us in seed form now. And there's something about seed. They multiply. Have you noticed that? You plant one corn, what do you get? You can never tell. Jeremiah, you can never tell. Because even if you get one, two or three on it now, take that one seed again from that one, it will multiply again. It can cover a whole village and be exported. You know, look at you. You are running around looking for help. I have trees around my area. They don't go anywhere. I have mango trees. They don't go anywhere. But their fruit goes all over the world. So Christ is saying, look here, come to this kingdom where you multiply by seed. Where seed just keep, you never know the end. Pastor, you are confusing me. I know mangoes, I know apple, but what is the seed? Now let's close like this. Let's go to the secret of the kingdom of God. You want to know? Mark chapter 4. Let's go. Interesting. Let's go quickly. We just read, then we are going to eat later and then get out of here. Verse 1. Mark 4 verse 1. Now, let's follow now. Kingdom of God, big thing about life. This covers everything about life. He said, if you seek God's kingdom, all things will be added to you, right? Let's go. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great what? Gathered to him. So that he got into a boat, sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was on land facing the sea. Let's keep on reading. And then he taught them many things by parable and said to them, where? In his teaching. What did he say? Let's read. Can you look up, everybody? The kingdom. Listen. Behold. Now, by the way, a disclaimer. I don't like farming. How many of you love farming? David, you don't? You like automobile? Thank you. You like farming? I don't like farming. I went to my village. I was thinking of being a farmer. I was born in Ivory Coast, industrial city. When I got to Nigeria and I saw what you go through farm, I knew I'm not going to be a farmer. But when I got to my Bible and it said farm and seed, I wanted to boot out. But the voice said to me, you better listen now. Let's find out. Let's go. Listen, behold, and it happened as so that some seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and what? Devoured it. Are you following? So this guy went to go and sow. This is very agricultural. This is very fundamental. He went out to go and sow. And then some seed fell by what? By the wayside. And what happened to it? The birds of the air came and what? Devoured it. Next verse. Are you still here with me? Some fell on stony ground. Not have much earth. Really, it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. This sounds so elementary, primary school. Let's go on. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, what happened to it? So fruit cannot come because there's no root to it. Next verse. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Are you here with me? You're looking at the kingdom today. Next verse. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop. You got some seed for me. Thank you. Wow, this is rice. This rice look really interesting. Did they plant this one? So this is not seed. This is consumable. Thank you very much. Thank you. Maybe this will do. Now, can you look up? It says, this particular good ground. Now, please, by the way, Christ was not a farmer. He was a carpenter. And he came up with kingdom now. And he said, kingdom is like this. It sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. That means when you put in 2, it comes back with 200. You put in 20, what do you get back? 2,000. Next verse. And then he said to them, he actually screamed, he does, yes! Let him hear! Hear what? Go to the farm, drop the seed, wayside, hard ground, stony ground, good ground. Let's go home. Let's keep on reading. Next verse. Now, this is where I need you. Please, I need you here. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. What's all this kind of story? We are not on the farm. Let's keep on reading. Can I have a voice, everybody? I believe that if you hear this today, your future can never be small. If you listen to what I'm going to say today, your future will be adventurous with God and you making things happen. He said, to you, it has been given to know what? The mystery, the secret of the kingdom of God. To those who are outside, all things come in parables. Are you here? Those guys took a step and they came nearer. You know, sometimes I feel sorry for us in church. We come to church like this, we listen like this, and we go away. We never ask more. So this guy came and said, please, master, he said, to you it's been given the secret of the kingdom. So we're about to learn that kingdom secret now. Let's go on. He said, so that those who are outside, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Next verse. He said to them, don't you understand this parable? Now look up. How then will you understand all the parables? And your life is a parable. Your time in life is a parable. Economy is a parable. Marriage is a parable. Are you hearing me? All of life, they are parables. And Jesus said, if you get this parable I just gave, you get the meaning of all the parables in your life. You can explain everything about your life. Failure, success, ups and downs. This parable will explain everything about life. Divorce, it will explain it. Marriage, it will explain it. Finance, it will explain it. If you get this parable, you get all the parables. You know, one of the happiest things in my life, I got hold of this parable when I was about 19 years old. And with this parable, I can explain everything in my life. Why my dad married 6 wives? He can explain it. What's the parable? The sower sowed the seed. That's very, 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 very simplistic. And some fell by the wayside. And some fell by the rocky side. And some fell by the thorns. And then some, out of 4, 1 yielded crop. Am I right? So I came to see that not everybody will succeed in life. I came to see that practically about 25% will do well. Do you hear me? That's why don't ever trust anyone beside you thinking that they have the last word and they can give you advice about your life. Ask them, are they part of 25%? I'm sorry to say this. Some of you have grown up in a house where the 3/4 is where it's working. I'm coming to that in minutes. If you can get this parable, you get all the parable. This is the secret of the kingdom of God. I was in on that level, or 200 level, I'm not very sure now. I was in the campus. I remember the hall in Luz where they brought the video for us to watch. And I saw this man of God came forward and was talking just like this and is explaining the parable. And when I got that parable, my classmate didn't get it. Some other ones, we got it. It began to explain a lot of things. It made even church pastoring easy for me. What's this parable? The parable is this. The farmer goes to work. What does he do? He plants seed. Let's hear from, you see, this story is in Luke, it's in Matthew, it's in Mark. Let's hear Luke side, Luke 8:11. Write this one down. What's the parable? What's the first thing about the parable? Luke 8:11. The parable is this. What is it? What's the parable? What's the seed? What's the seed? That's where you are missing it. Nothing else can produce the harvest you are after except the word of God. I know that you have not heard that before. We've heard that you go to church, you take notes, you listen, and you go out. No, 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 no. Everything you want in life, the seed of it, is the word of God. Not prayer, not fasting, not going to church, not attending like this. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. You know why I got Sola to work with me? He had interest in the word of God. You would never have harvest without planting seed. You know, farm, it's not like classroom. You know, classroom, you may not go for the whole semester. Am I right? You can jump the whole semester, and toward the end of the class, are they, I mean, you can just jump in and collect all the notes. Am I right? You collect all the notes, and when you take all the notes, you can cram all the notes like we did. We cram all the notes, and you enter the class, and you can pass. Right? You can even get the highest mark because academic is not life. In school, you dare not fail. In life, you better fail. You hear me? If you never fail in life, you're an idiot. You hear me? If a guy comes to you and said, everything is perfect in my life, I never made any mistake. Run for your life. Because real life, you hear him, real life is up and down, sometimes going through. But you know that in real life, you cannot enter end of semester, pick up papers, sign the paper, write the exam and walk out and get A. In real life, you cannot go to farm about time, 2 weeks to harvest time. Huh? I'm rushing there. Oh boy. It won't happen. You see, a lot of things you see in life. Can I help you? Rebecca, come. It's your turn now. See, Rebecca is here. When I meet Rebecca, I'm not meeting Rebecca. I'm meeting all the seed planted in her life and the harvest to this point. Did you hear what I just said? That will wake you up in looking for girls and boys to marry. Did you hear what I just said? When I meet Rebecca like this, Rebecca is fine, of course. Look at her dress. It's fantastic. Her hair long. Borrowed or whichever one. You know, women borrow hair to add to their hair. Sorry. A lot of you borrow. I can see your hair long, but it's not really long. But it has been elongated. I'm in trouble. Forgive me. Where are we? So when I meet Rebecca now, seed has been planted in her life. Second, seed today has been planted. What should be tomorrow will be the harvest of that. Let me give you a scenario. I grew up in a home where the father was never serious. Mom carried all the load. When I grow up, I'm used to the seed, the harvest of. What do I do in my own life? I can swear that whenever I do, I have to have a new seed planted. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Are you hearing me, somebody here? I cannot plant cocoa and expect cocoa yam. Oh, it's easier for me as a pastor now to pastor people. Why? Because when that guy comes to me, I'm looking at harvest. About to happen, has already happened, and is happening. So when I go out with Rebecca now, and I say, Rebecca, I love you. And she said, don't say that again. I don't know what you boys are after. I don't know what she's talking about. I'm only saying, I love you in my own language, where I'm coming from. And she said, because the last two boys that met her first, they said, I love you. And they planted bad seed. Hope you're getting what I'm saying. Are you here? Thank you, Rebecca. Your turn is over. I'll go somebody else. The seed is what? The reason why marriage failed is the seed is not planted. Harvest can come. You can go to the altar, wear the finest clothes, dance like Okoto. You know what Okoto? And then hold your hand. But the harvest you are after won't come from the dancing. It comes from the seed. Now, All of you are asking me that if you trust God and it doesn't come. Now, you will see trusting God now, it has changed meaning. It's no longer you are trusting God, that God will do something by calculating some promises in the Bible. It's seed you plant. When you plant the seed, it will come with harvest. If it doesn't come with the harvest, something's wrong with the ground and not with the God who is in heaven. Am I making some sense here? And it won't happen immediately. Let's look at our life. So the parable is what? The seed. God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what's the question now? God wants you to seek the greatest seed. Whatever you are looking for, find the seed first. And the best seed is the word of God on any issue. Am I making some sense? Stop thinking of that person, that person, that person. The greatest seed, whatever you are after. Christians in Nigeria think it's prayer. How many of you, your mom carried you somewhere? They carried me too. Huh? They think it's prayer, 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 prayer. And by the way, they never find out the seed for prayer itself. Oh, you know what I just said? They never find out the seed for prayer. If you are going to pray well, there must be seed you have to plant to get prayer harvest. Everything is on. You see, what you are praying is even wrong because it's not seed. You don't have an harvest of prayer. Oh, they fast a lot. All they get is like this. They never got a seed for fasting. So they can't have the harvest that they are looking for there. Am I making some sense today? This is the kingdom of God. Seed. Now listen. Now why are people not getting things? Let's go. Go back to Mark 4. Where did we stop? We read verse. What now? Is it verse 10? Let's get back there. Okay, verse 12. Verse 13. Okay, verse 13. Now verse, next verse. Next verse. Okay, good. Go back, go back. And let's look at the first ground. Now, we said the parable is what? The seed is what? The seed is what? But there's something about seed. Listen, everybody. If you never plant a seed, it will never grow. Can I get a Bible? Anybody with a Bible? Not phone. Okay, all of you don't carry Bible anymore. Where's my Bible? Okay, it's over there. Can you help me get it? Thank you. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. One of these other ones, we carry Bible. See, listen to my Bible. See the Bible? It's a packet of seed. Listen, it will never do you any good like this. Seed can be on this table for 25,000 years. It will never produce harvest if it's not planted. Our parents took us where they put Bible under the pillow. It's not meant for under the pillow. I grew up in my uncle's house where we read the Bible into water, Psalm into water. I was there. He didn't go to school, so I helped him read the Bible into water. I hated Psalm 119. It's the longest one. Then I would go with his son to go and fetch water. It's called Omi Iphone. That means you don't talk when you fetch the water, so you can be more powerful when you put it down. And I'll go with his son to the river. We will talk well, well. And when we got near the house, I'm about to be shot, and we put it down. Then he would say, oh yeah, I'm a Bible. I'm a Bible. I'll bring you. I need the help, me. I need the help. So I open the Bible and start reading. I'll read only three verses. Then the next verse, close the thing. They say, "Otupare, bam, otupare, emelo, emeje, samora nanti, emeje." You must be crazy. Read what? And then they take away the water. It sanctified Omiadura. It was never meant to be read into water. It's meant to be planted. Planted where? Let's look at it. Look at next verse. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So we know the ground now, your heart. Jeremiah, you now understand. Why is prayer not answered? The ground is one that determines the quality of the seed harvest. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? The quality, the yield of the seed depends on the, some of you over here, you have been brought up wrong. You are brought up like this, mechanical. You think it's mechanical. No, no. You see, the way your heart is, that's what you're going to get from God. That's why I'm trying to make you to concentrate and focus. You hear what I just said? You hear what I just said? Did you hear me? You see, it's your heart that will bring forth the seed. God won't just, see, you grow up to be taught like this. God will just come from heaven and do something. Bosha. No! Can I convince you more? Can you, okay, we are on verse what now? 4:15. Now, look at chapter 3, the book of Ephesians, verse 20. Let's read that one about power. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Let's start rounding up quickly. Now, can you look up everybody? Let's go and read that verse again now. Let's go. Can I hear your voice? Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. We stop there. And that's wrong. Look at this fan here. There's power in this building, but power has to come through this fan, works in this fan to blow it. Am I right? Now, I've seen this happen. There is light, there is power, and the fan doesn't work. No, the power is entering there because something is faulty in that fan. Together, all the things we don't get in life that seem to disappoint us, the power of God is there, but something is faulty in us. But as people kept saying, my spirit, my heart. Why? That's your grand. A lot of you don't know what your grand is. It's not your phone. It's not the Bible. You plant the seed in your heart. The seed must enter your heart or it won't grow. I can put seed on this kind of fire, it will never grow. And what is the first kind of grand? What was the problem? Let's go back to Mark 4:15. Let's start running. Mark 4:15. This guy, get your hands really fast today. Mark 4:15. When they hear, why are people coming to church like this? And Satan came with you. Satan is standing right by your side. Pastor, how can he enter the church? Anybody can come to church now. In fact, Satan took Christ to church, to temple, when he was being tempted. He took him to Masalashi. He took him to church. He said, when they hear, when they are hearing, Satan comes immediately and Mua, Mua, Mua. When I was growing up in Baptist church years ago, our parents would pray like this. Only one to buy a tea or to wole. Come on back to Sijadi, and it's going all the time. Now, can I ask you a question? Why did that grand become a target for Satan? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, let's go to Mark. Mark now, let's look at Matthew version. Let's go to 13th Matthew, verse 19. Take a look. Write this one down. Don't forget this one in your life. They even over there capitalize it. Look at it on the screen. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then what? The devil is beside you over there because you are not listening. You are not understanding. Devil knows that your greatest power in life is the seed of the word of God. He knows that nothing else can stop him in your life except the word of God. So he will come and camp around your house, around your life, to convince you to take any other idea except the word of God. You hear me? Why is it that when you are watching that movies, you don't feel asleep? And every time you pick up your Bible, you don't seem to have understanding. Why is it that when you are watching part one, part two, part three, light goes off, you put on the narrator? But when you want to read your Bible, your phone is at 10%. Say, I can't read it anymore, it's 10%. But you go and charge your generator. Are you getting what I'm saying? Satan comes, you see, listen, everybody here. Come here to understand. I don't need your presence. One day, you're going to leave here. Pastor Dipo was somewhere. He left. Abeokuta. But what's happening inside of you? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I just come here. Do you get this? Some of you over here, you never understand marriage and you are trying to make a proposal. You don't understand relationship. You don't understand. You're going out with this girl. You are a crash to happen. You don't understand finance. You don't understand it. He don't understand. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was so in his heart. Let me say, I said I'll give you two reasons. Number one, what's the first reason? Lack of understanding. And why don't they understand? They are by the wayside. Look up here. They are where? By the wayside. What's wrong with the wayside? Wayside is a place like this where everybody is walking. And by their walking there, they have hardened the soil. Am I right? When you go to a serious farm, farmers will tell you, don't ever walk around on my farm. Because you're walking around will make the thing hard. And when, how many of you, you grew up in the farm? Your daddy has farm. Can I see your hands over here? You don't. All of you are. You can't plant seed over here. See, when you walk somewhere, after a while, that place becomes hardened. You see, your problem is this. You are hearing from everybody. That's your trouble. See, I have a problem with you over here. You are not listening only to God. You are hearing everybody else in town. God can't help you. God is like a woman. He doesn't share a husband. You either hear me or hear other people else. So this grand, his problem is that he's hearing everybody of how to make money. You are asking God about how can I make money from you. God said, hear everybody in town. When you hear everybody in town, I'll step on you. You want to get married. You have heard everybody from TV to YouTube on marriage. And you now come to church for the man of God to join you together and to pray that will work like that. Are you listening? So ask your neighbor, do you really understand? Let's start basic. Do you understand church? Do you know that Muslims understand mosque? Muslims understand mosque. When they are coming to mosque, they wear their white. They remove their shoes. They hang their phone. They come to worship. But today, we have bastardized Christianity. We don't know whether it's church or our house or our parlor. When you go to the bank, you understand banks, don't you? You don't go to the bank and go and be selling rice and beans. What would they say to you? Are you correct? Your understanding determines how your life will go. So when you hear the word of God, you don't understand. Can I ask you a question? Did you ever go back and ask yourself, is this thing really true? Is this thing really, does it ever work? I dare say, 90% of you over here never go back. Sorry, I'm talking hard today. You never said, let's check this thing up more. Did you ever? Oh, by the way, when you are in school, if you ever go to school, you never check up your books, you never check up the textbook, you never check anything. Will you make A? Even gifted children, you have to read. I tell my children, those who are A students, they repeat the class again and again and again. They said, Daddy, what do you mean? I said, those who are A students repeat the class again and again. You know what? You don't read, so you repeat the class next year. But those who are brilliant repeat the class again and again and again and again. They read it over and over and over and over and over. So they repeat classes before they get to the end of the year and they pass very well. But you never repeat the class, so you repeat the class next year. I hope you get what I'm saying. Now, I know you think that I know the Bible, right? But it doesn't work that way. I have to go back to understand it every time I need to do something. Do you get that? One more time, ask your friend. Do you understand?
Pastor, all this prosperity.
Do you ever understand prosperity? Okay, let's go further. Can you stand up? Sorry, today you are in trouble, all of you. Come. See this lady? This is a young lady going somewhere. Can I ask you a question? How many of you know her? Can I see your hands? You know her. Thank you. How many of you understand her? Particularly you boys. You don't understand female. You think they are like you. Like one guy saw my daughter, came around, my first daughter. He said, hey, what's up, girl? I said, sky is up. You just think that all they are is their body. Look at your phone. Some of you, you don't understand your phone. All you do is WhatsApp. Huh? You do WhatsApp, what else? Tell me, Instagram, Ingagram, what else? You should understand your phone. You will never, let me give you a phrase in the Bible. Thank you. Let me give you a phrase. Let's go to chapter 2 Colossians. I want to give you a phrase. Give us 2 verse 3 or verse 2, either of the two. Let's take a look. Verse 3. Chapter 2 Colossians. Okay, give us verse 2. All right. Can you look up? Where's my stick? Who is there in the yeah, thank you. Can you capitalize this word? Riches of the full assurance of understanding. Oh, see that word? Capitalize it. Riches of the full assurance of understanding. So, Christian riches come from full assurance. That come from what? Understanding. Years ago, I never understood finances in the kingdom of God. They told me to give tithe. I didn't get anything back. I gave offering. I never got anything back. Why? I didn't understand it. I just thought, give tithe. They said, you'll get blessing. Even what is blessing itself? I don't even know. Who can tell me what a blessing is over here? He said, it will open the windows of heaven. Where is that window? And pour out a blessing. What's the blessing? I thought blessing was the money coming back or a car I will get. No. He says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It's not riches itself. Now let me tell you what I do. You know what I do as a person? If you see me at home on average day, I'm trying to understand this thing. Every Sunday I come over here, I want to get you to understand this thing. Because when you understand, you'll be convinced. And when you are convinced, you'll be enriched in Christ. The riches of Christ are only available to those who are assured by their understanding. By the way, I'm not moved at all. Not all of you over here will get it. Remember? Out of the four swells. This is the first swell. It won't understand. Oh. It won't get it. It won't pay extra attention. Now, sometimes in church, let me warn you, you may get some material benefit at the initial stage and you lose out. If you say, we are giving rice now, people will come. But the real thing is not rice. The real thing is understanding. And they won't get that. If I say, bring a friend to church next Sunday, we give them $10 each. Oh, you don't to church, collect dollar. How many get? You know, I'm a friend of Robert Kiyosaki. He has a friend, thieves went to his friend's house and they stole TV, stole things. So the guy was telling his friend, said, those thieves are very poor. He said, all they can carry is TV. They never carry my books. They never carry books. They are Nigerian thieves. It's a TV, size 45, and by next year, it's out of edition. But when you read the book, it will give you understanding that you keep on getting the fresh edition every year. Can you clap your hands for Jesus for that? Mr. Oyedepo was 70 during the week. 70. And somebody said about him, when he travels abroad, he doesn't buy their shoes, doesn't buy their clothes, he buys books. He buys books. Why? Because the more you understand, the more you can accomplish. So, can I beg you, start now with understanding. Start digging in. Look at Jesus at the age of 12. He was busy understanding, not just playing around. I got an uncle. He played around with women for years from his university days. He will even sew sutana to go and get girls in CKNS. That's how he was. He would. Now today, his marriage is in a mess. Huh? So you can see now, vast multitudes don't understand. They are getting married. They're having children. Have you seen them? They have children like this. They're praying for children. And when children come like this, they say, come on, collect them. Come on, collect them. Why? They just, you see, they say, I'm telling you, I want 10 children. They never know what they never know what they're signing for. They never know what they're signing for. I want to go to school. I want to do mechatronics. When they get to the class, they say, what's this going on? They never understand. I'm going abroad. Do you ever understand abroad? Did you ever? You watch back to your phone again. You watch it on your phone. You saw them standing like that. You saw the flyover, right? My daughter went to Canada with her husband. You know what she spent that time doing before she traveled? She studied Canada. She studied where she can raise children. She looked at where it is. She took her time. She was studying. She was learning. When they said, where will she go? She said, if it's easier there, I'll go over there. She was understanding. She was getting it. She went through every process. Once she got to Canada and started living in one place, somebody asked her, whoever told you to come here? This is the best place to live in Canada. How did you find out? She searched. But what do? You are too superficial. So start getting understanding. Start looking under. Don't be carried away by image anymore and face look. You see that girl? Whoa! Relax. You may not be able to carry her through life. I'm moving to UK. Guys have moved to UK and they have knockouts. Why? They don't understand. Can you help me ask your neighbor? Where will you be in your future? Tell the person, I don't understand. Just tell him, I don't understand. But meanwhile, I keep finding out. When I was in my 20s to my 30s, I spent my life running, reading, learning, growing, just getting books, learning every area of life. One day I discovered that when you have children, a baby, and the baby is crying, just start putting them in motion. They'll keep quiet. The book said, put them in a car and take them out. I don't have a car. So I had this cot. I was swinging like that. I was keeping quiet. I came to see that every stage of life, you have to understand. And if you don't understand, you can't go to the next level. Are you hearing me? Pastor, what is understanding? Read it. Understand. Standing under. I know how time is gone. You know what I mean? Understanding? Can you look up here? One more time. You come now. Next time. You come. Let me show you what I call understanding. See, if I look into his eyes, I can see myself there. If I really look. Next time, look at your girlfriend. Your girlfriend. Don't do it for me, you know. Your girlfriend. If you look into your girlfriend's pupil, you will see the picture of yourself in that. How many of you have seen that before? Yeah, you look in there. You know what? That's who you are. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see me. He sees my nobody has ever seen Shola. Nobody has ever, not even his wife. When you look at somebody, your eyes actually just is a channel and it has optic nerves. Go to the back of your head, optic nerve, and showed that picture. So actually, you are seeing with the back of your head. Now, if I cut off your optic nerve, you are still looking at me, I'm going to not see anything. Have you seen guys who are blind before? Even when they are blind, that's a good word to use. When they are blind, their eyes seem to radiate more. Have you noticed that? Okay, have you seen anybody blind? If they are blind, you see, they look like, when they are blind, they look like this. That means the eyes get bigger, but it's not seeing anything. What am I saying is this. You see, who I am is a picture in his eyes. There must be a picture of redemption, of prosperity, of family, of marriage, inside your understanding, standing under you. We're going to stop there today. Do you understand? Jeremiah is over there. That keyboard, I can't play it. He spent weeks, months understanding that equipment. I don't. So what do? I employ Jeremiah. Please play for us. We are talking about the secret of the kingdom of God. Number one, start understanding. He's talking about career. Do you ever understand career? That course you pick, do you ever understand it? Talk less of the Bible now. Do you ever understand that? Can I get some money? Oh, thank you. Look at this. How many understand this? I know you have enough to spend it. How many would like me to give you this money to go home with? Dash. I want to dash you. Okay. Now, if I do like this, do you still want the money? Do you still want the money? Sorry, shall I give another one? You still want the money? What's wrong with you? Let me tear it. Pastor, tear it. I'll get a little paper. Tape it. You know why you are saying yes and yes and yes and yes? You know this is the key to spending. This is the key to spending. You understand it? That no matter, even if it's torn, but do you know your life like that? Is your life like that, that no matter what, you won't commit suicide like we had this morning? You'll never give up on your life? Even when Satan roughing you and roughing you and roughing you, will you never give up on your life? If he throw you on the floor, everything goes on you, and you can still pick up and say, my life is valuable. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Failure beat you. Sickness come to you. Life is rough. You get disappointment. You get breakfast. You get lunch. You get dinner. You can still give up. You go to the embassy, they refuse you. You go to WAHEC, they deny you. You go to university, they let you go quickly because of ASUU strike. Can you still get up and say, my life is valuable? If you know how valuable it's like, you will never take a gun and kill somebody. If you know what the life is, understanding it, you won't commit abortion. If you know what life is, but let's stop there today. We're going to look at other things about kingdom of God. Number one is understanding. You know why the Western world is above us? If you look at a white man, they are weaker than us. Am I right? They are weaker than us. If you put a white man in this room that is very hot, next thing, he starts having heat stroke. African man, I just 30. We'll take a shower and come back. Am I right? But Oyibos, you know what? They're having it tough, and that lack of energy and strength, they turn into understanding. So in Africa, we will not invent AC because Afaramo. But they will invent AC because they want to understand more. You know, Isaac Newton was sitting under a tree. Isaac Newton. And an apple fell down by the side of him. About 21 years old at that time, a professor, 21 years old. And an apple fell down. And he said, why did the apple fall? Shut up, eat the apple. And today, we have the law of gravitation that's affecting science forever. Will you start understanding? The real reason for laziness is not lack of strength, it's lack of understanding. I hope you understand why you are going to school. I hope you understand. Let's stop there today. Are you blessed? Pastor, I'm not blessed at all. But did you learn something today? Start going around in life now. Start understanding. Start asking questions. Start understanding. Start understanding. For instance, stop and ask yourself, why am I going to church? Why do I come over here? And if you cannot say any genuine reason, stay at your house. Well, why am I going to school? Wait, why are you going to school? And I got law school. One guy was playing NBA final. They are playing ball. He just stopped in the middle of the game and he started laughing. He said, play now. He said, ridiculous. Can you imagine? Everybody standing over there watching us wearing pants, sweating, chasing a bag of wind, up and down, up and down. What's wrong with us? The coach said, don't understand. Just play. Don't understand. Just play and win the game. Next time, a guy comes to you and says, I want to go out with you. Ask him, why? You know what they will say? I like you, Nee. Why? Do you like me? I said, I like you. Why do you like me? I don't know. You know, I question myself all the time. Why am I a pastor? Why am I a father? Why am I your brother? Why am I your sister? Why am I here? We better stop the service, or else we'll not leave here. Friend, that's my friend. Why is he your friend? Pastor, why did I bring him here? Because I want to shock your imagination. I want to see life bigger than where you are. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? Clap your hands for Jesus. Tell somebody beside you, we are going A-level now. We are maturing with power, with blessing, and with victory. I want to make a VIP out of your life. Spell it. V, victory, increase, power. I want to make a VIP. Powerful guy, an increasing guy, and a victorious guy. Or a lady. So let's go a step further. Now you know today that the parable is what? Now I dare you to go back home, read Mark 4, and look at the story again, and think about it. I dare you. Next Sunday, if you come and get the story, we'll clap for you. And if you don't get the story, you don't read it again, we come around and punish you. Let's ask questions. Are we ready? Okay, let's ask questions. Yeah, Ibokon. Let me say something. I want to give you some fast pace. Otonile, please come. Please come. Let's come around again, this time around. Please relax. We understand the choir now.